This is episode 226, recorded February 27th, 2015. Packard pokes at. Okay, let's talk. My belief trumps your rights.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far east coast is Joe Unseen.
I am and always shall be your friend.
Yes. And joining us from the far west coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
Hey there.
And joining us special tonight is Steve Shives. From Steve Shives.
I have my own state. It's great.
If anybody deserves to have their own state, it's Steve.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
One thing that as Joe kind of alluded there, we had some tragic news this afternoon, actually this morning. Leonard Nimoy had passed away of OCPD, I believe it was. And
COPD.
COPD. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's so many acronyms in the medical field, I can't keep track of them all. We're here at Packard Pokes At, we greatly miss him, and we wish his family well. Okay, on tonight's topic, I want to welcome everybody to our Let's Talk segment. We have a single topic that we're going to talk about, and that's it for one whole hour. And tonight's topic is going to be My Beliefs Trump Your Rights. In the religious community, they seem to think that because of their beliefs, that they can say that they can do anything they want because of their beliefs, pretty much. For example, over in Michigan, there is a case where a woman, she's a doctor, and see some people come over to her and they, you know, to get their child prenatal care. And it turns out that these two ladies are lesbians. Nothing wrong with that. However, the doctor says, you know what? I prayed to God and I don't feel I'm going to be good for you as a doctor because I don't agree with your lifestyle pretty much. But she says it's your choice, so you can do that. But according to the American Medical Association, it's under 10.015 Part C, it says a specific treatment sought by an individual is incompatible with the physician's personal, religious, or moral beliefs, then she doesn't have to treat them. And that's in their bylaws, which is, I think it's wrong, but if they've got these weird laws already set up, I mean, all we can do is what's that?
Are you saying that in the AMA it actually says a doctor can refuse treatment based on religious beliefs?
Yes.
I thought the Hippocratic Oath trumped that. Like, if somebody comes into the doctor's office and they're sick, and it's an infant who doesn't have, like, any kind of, like, consent, just because the parents are gay doesn't give the doctor the right to deny a child treatment. Like,
yeah,
that's...
Well, there is some.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. But it says here now. This is from 10.015, Part A. It says the patient physician relationship. Exceptions to this requirement may exist when the patient care is ultimately compromised by the contractual agreement. In situations not covered above, it may be ethically permissible for the physicians to decline a potential patient when A, the treatment request is beyond the physician's current competence, which I think is reasonable in that point, B, this treatment request is known to be scientifically invalid, which is very reasonable, and then they go...
So then how do doctors get away with recommending... like acupuncture or going to a chiropractor or something, because some doctors do that. They're like, well, you know, you could try a chiropractor. I got, you know, my cousin's one. fuck you.
But the thing is with that, I think there, because chiropractor is everywhere, I think there, it's just, it's widely accepted. I think that's the only reason
it's
why.
It's not scientifically valid, though.
You're right, it's not. It's absolutely not. And then it goes into part C, a specific treatment sought by the individual is incompatible with the physician's personal, religious, or moral beliefs. And that, I think, is just wrong. I mean,
now, the way I see that rule, though, is like a doctor can't be forced to, like, let's say, perform an abortion.
Right.
Like that, you know, that I can see. But if a child is sick and needs attention, that's a different story.
Right. And
that's a completely different story.
Absolutely. And the thing here is the parents even said this. They said the sex of our child, you know, what kind of gender that the child is going to like when they grow up doesn't really matter because it's a freaking baby. It doesn't have sex. The baby's not having sex.
He's discriminated against the child based on the relationship of the mom.
She, actually. The doctor's a she. Just for clarification, the doctor's a she.
Okay, well, whatever. The doctor is discriminating against the child, not giving the child treatment because of the parents, because of the two moms.
Yes.
Now, either one of those moms could have walked in there with the baby and the baby would have gotten treatment.
Yeah.
But because they walked in there together, they just happened to be together at the same time.
Yeah, it's very possible.
The make actually, the call that...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead,
no,
Connie.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, they walked into the doctor's office last fall because being an LGBT, you know, a lesbian couple, they obviously... You know, they had their child at home with a midwife, but they pre-set up a meeting with Dr. Roy, R-O-I, that's the name of the doctor, in Michigan. And they said, well, you know, we're going to have a baby and we would like you to be the pediatrician. You came highly recommended. And they had a meeting with her. And, so, you know, she had time. Now, the doctor claims that she didn't, her office didn't keep the contact information for this couple.
Yeah.
But she had time right there. Now, herein is part of the problem is that you are allowed, it's called a conscience clause. You're allowed to say, hey, I can't in good conscience do this. My religion prevents me from doing this. You need to find a different pediatrician. She could have said that at that point, and she didn't. And she says she claims she had no way to contact this couple until they had their baby, set up the appointment. They arrive 6 days later for the appointment, and they are met by a different doctor. And so Dr. Roy's like backpedaling.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, granted, you know, maybe she's not confrontational. She doesn't want to hurt people's feelings. But the fact is that this clause, this conscience clause, as I understand it, and I've only been reading about it for a few days, but her responsibility as the doctor was to let them know at the time of service, at the time they contact her, that she says, I'm not the doctor for you. Conscience clause is exactly like Joe said, you know, it's to allow a doctor who doesn't want to perform abortions or euthanasia or a lot of other things, you know, they can have that out. Because the Hippocratic Oath, as it is, it's changed, I guess, over many years. And it actually originally, at least according to what I've read, again, I'm couching this because it's very confusing to me, but
I just want to read what
it exempted things like abortion and whatnot.
I want to take a moment here just read exactly what this woman she wrote.
Sure.
Because it says here on February 9th, nearly 4 months after the appointment, the conscious family received a letter from Dr. Roy, and she wrote, after much prayer following your prenatal, I felt that I would not be able to develop the personal patient-doctor relationships that I normally do with my patients. The letter read, we do not keep prenatal information once we have our meetings, so I had no way to contact you. I should have spoken with you directly that day. Please know that I believe that God gives us free choice, and I would never judge anyone based on what they do with that free choice. But bitch,
I'm totally judging you right now.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. She fucking judged her. Just like, I don't like your lifestyle. Being gay is not a lifestyle. I don't like the fact that you love the same gender. So therefore, I'm backing out. And I'm totally judging you on that.
You know, I think that, I mean, somebody who knows better can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think that conscience clause is more meant to apply to, like we've been saying, like particular procedures.
Yes.
What about caring for a child? What about providing just what was probably standard prenatal care? What about that does the doctor find religiously or morally objectionable?
That's a good question.
You know, it seems like she's trying to, she's making a very, very narrow distinction that to me just shows how silly the whole issue is. I mean, in the article that we're talking about, it says that doctors can decline to provide a specific treatment sought by an individual if it's compatible with the physician's personal or religious beliefs. But I mean, there's nothing about providing prenatal care to a child that would seem to violate any religious belief that at least that is respected by the laws of this country. And I mean, hopefully, I hate to say this because it's terrible that the parents have to go through this, but hopefully this goes to court and we get some case law out of this.
That would be good.
So that doctors can basically, so that we can hold doctors to the same standard that we hold restaurant owners to.
Absolutely. I think this would be a good case law that if we could get it through, yeah. But I mean, because it's already in the policy, I mean, this, I have no idea how long this policy has been around. I'm not saying that we can't change the policy. I think it's in this regard for this particular thing is wrong. This is blatantly wrong.
Well, we just talked about this last month, I think. Michigan House Bill 5958, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, was passed December 14th, and you can legally legalizes Christian religious freedom to deny service, whether it's employment or how, and it could be employment and housing and all kinds of other things on religious grounds, because you have a moral a moral problem with something that somebody else is doing. I don't say it's right. I'm just saying this is not just, and this is an isolated thing. There's legislation trying to be passed, state legislations across the country, because, you know, civics, that's how we do things. We try not to have the big government micromanaged. And so these pockets of discrimination, but they don't want to call it discrimination. They call it, this is the other really stupid thing, they call it religious persecution.
Oh,
they
call
it an anti-discrimination act against Christianity. And I'm like, what?
I got a couple of comments from the chat room here that are really good. Dawkins Dog, he said, if you know your religious beliefs are going to conflict with your requirements for the job, don't do the damn job. And I completely agree with that.
Yes. Yeah. That's where it comes in with what I mentioned about, you know, we should hold doctors to the same standard that we hold restaurant owners to. I mean, there's an argument to be made, I guess, from the side of the restaurant owner to say, well, but it's my restaurant. I should be able to refuse service to anybody that I want for any reason that I want. But we decided about 50 years ago that that's not the way we were going to do things anymore. We decided that for the public good, basically, that we were going to prohibit that kind of discrimination on the basis of things like sex or like race, or now we would also consider sexual orientation or gender identity, that we're going to say, you can't shut these people out for the good of society, for the good of our communities. You can't discriminate on the basis of those factors. And that trumps your right to refuse service to anybody you want.
Absolutely.
And, if that's the standard that we hold people who run public accommodations like restaurants or hotels or things, then it should also at least be the standard that we hold physicians to.
Oh, I agree.
Yes.
There was a couple of years back, there was a guy in my state, unfortunately, I think just a couple cities away from me, he actually put in his window he was not going to serve black people. I mean, and this is like, this is blatant racism. It's like, oh, I can do that. It's like, no, you fucking can't. If two black people walk in there or one black person walks in there and they say, hey, I want to buy X or whatever this guy's stuff was. I think he was selling furniture or some shit at the time. And if he wants to buy a couch, you have no right, unless the guy comes in there and starts tearing shit up. If he's got money in his hand, he says, I want to buy this. You don't have a right to say, no, I'm not going to sell it to you because of you're black, you're gay, you're whatever.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize.
You'd be a fool to turn away a paying customer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and you know, some businesses will have those signs in the front window that say, you know, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone at any time. And people see those signs and think, oh, okay. But, I mean, that they're asserting a right that they don't actually have.
Yeah.
I mean, if a business owner refuses service to someone on the basis of their race or their sex or their gender identity or whatever, and the person who is refused decides to take them to court and sue them for violating their civil rights, they're going to win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You might win the battle. You might get the black people to leave your store that day. But if they come back with a lawyer, guess what? They're going to own your store.
Yeah.
You know, the law is not on your side.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
We want to
Yes,
rightly so.
Yeah,
we want to let our listeners know that if they want to get in on the conversation, they can go to uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat, and if you have a microphone, you can get on the conversation and join us on the call, or you can call 857-216-3200. Please use PIN number 35368. And I'm done with that announcement. But yeah, no, there's been a lot of related stories of that where we've got like people who have bakeries, they don't want to make cakes for gay weddings or whatever, and that's exactly the same thing. Why would you want to turn down their business? Because their money is just as green and says, "In God we trust," on there just as much as anybody else's. If you take money from a gay person, you don't turn gay. Just so people out there know this, and if you take money from a gay person, your cash register doesn't know the difference between the gay money and the straight money.
The hypocrisy of the one in Washington State and Tri-Cities that you're talking about, too, that florist.
Yeah.
That gay man had been the gay man had been her customer for years. And just because he wanted flowers for his wedding, all of a sudden she had a problem with taking his money.
Yeah.
I was so glad that, you know, that woman got said, you know what, you discriminated. The court's already said that. But I'm just, like, sick that we have to be fighting this in courts. Why does this take, time and money and tying up courts to just say to somebody, hey, you know, live your life. That's fine. I don't get it.
Well, people overall are stupid. I mean, they are. I mean,
I can't argue with that. That's true.
I mean, we had to make for goodness sake, we had to make laws of not dumping our waste in the places we get our water from. That would be you think, hey, this is obvious. This is obvious, why, you know, we had to make a law for it. So.
Ew.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, it really shows, like, it shows how overprivileged I think a lot of Christians are in this country, where they've gotten to the point where their idea of religious liberty is they get to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But if they put themselves in another person's shoes, if let's say they went into a private business owned and operated by an incredibly devout and maybe racist, xenophobic Muslim guy, mm-hmm. and he decided to refuse service to them because they were Christians, or he refused service to them because they were Jews or whatever, I think they wouldn't be standing up for that guy's religious liberty.
Oh, absolutely
saying,
not.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's a great observation. If it was the reverse, or even let's say Steve owns a business and he says, "Oh, I'm not going to serve any Christians," and I was like,
right.
they you know how fast that would be on Fox News? It'd be on there like 30 seconds after the fact. The guy would be walking out the door and he'd be on the phone. Oh, this atheist, he didn't refuse because I'm a Christian. Fox News would be on that shit like it was hot.
Absolutely. I could say, you know what, I'm an atheist, I'm a humanist, I knew these people coming in were members of a conservative Christian church that has anti-gay views, and it was offensive to me, so I decided not to serve them.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's people would call bullshit on that immediately, and they should.
Absolutely. Yeah, they should.
If I said that sort of thing, you know, and yeah, it's asserting a privilege that they should not have. I mean, a secular society should be a society of religious pluralism, where all religions are treated equally, and people without religions are treated equally, and no one religion has the right to impose itself on anyone else. And to me, a doctor saying, "Well, the fact that the baby has two mommies is against my religion, therefore I'm not going to care for that child. That is imposing your religious beliefs on someone else. You
absolutely
should not be allowed to do that.
And speaking of children real quick here, there is a senator, no, I'm sorry, a Republican, yeah, state representative out in Idaho, and she refused to, she says the state has no right to protect children from their parents who refuse the need for medical treatment. And her name is Christy Perry, and she goes, children do die. I'm not trying to sound callous, but people calling for reform want to act as if death is an anomaly. It's not. It's a way of life. It's also a way of life of going to the doctor. I mean, we've been doing this for hundreds of years. We've been doing this for, actually, we've been, even before we had modern medicine, we were going to the witch doctor going, hey, I'm not feeling good. Can you give me something? You know, even if it was going blah, blah, blah at first because they didn't know any better, they used to work to the doctor. You still went to a doctor of some sort.
Buy my elixir. It cures everything from headaches to cancer.
Exactly. Exactly.
Take my money.
Take my money. I'll take some of the magic elixir. My jaw will fall off, but hey, you know. The thing is, in her district, 12 children died from the sect members, and most of the people in her in that area are all cult members. And why she is saying that medical treatment, this is what she says. She argues that it's well within Canyon County's sect's First Amendment rights to refuse medical service for the care of their children on religious grounds. No, it ain't, bitch. And I'm glad there are a lot of places this is true that you can't. You could say, well, I don't get treatment because of medical purposes, because of my medical religion, because of my religion, rather. And this actually happened in the city I live in a couple years back. A young girl died. She had an early form of, diabetes. And it was very treatable. And instead of taking her to the doctor, she died. And the family was in court and the whole nine yards. And for what fucking thing, I have no idea why, they let them to be on their own recognizance for several months. They were not supposed to leave the state, but they were found leaving the state trying to get money from all these other schmoes like out in Idaho and whatnot, trying to get them to pay their lawyer bills there, which is really fucking stupid.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from cafepress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
You know, whenever people speak up for this, they always talk about the parents' rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't, for the life of me, I do not understand how anybody can take that seriously. What about the rights of the child?
Exactly.
I mean, if you're an adult and you have reached the age of reason and you are considered competent in the eyes of the law to make your own decisions and you decide for whatever reason to refuse treatment or not to go to the doctor or to try and pray your diseases away, that's your business.
Yeah,
if you want to do that and you want to die a death from a preventable illness or a treatable illness, I think that's incredibly stupid, but if you want to do that and the only person you're harming is yourself, I guess there's nothing I can do to stop you.
Absolutely.
You have no right. You have no right to impose that on a child, especially your child, who is only here because you made them, and you are responsible for that child until they become an adult. Whether it's religious reasons or moral reasons or whatever, you have no right to say that the fact that your religion makes you uncomfortable with it trumps the right of that child to...
Yeah, that's exactly right, yes.
No, parents don't have rights. They have responsibilities. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Therein is the problem, is they've got it backwards. They don't understand.
They think the children are property. They treat their children like property. Yeah. Like it's a car.
They talk about them like that.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that's how they talk about them, as though it's their property. They're so concerned about their parental rights, as if they're the interested party here. And I mean, I believe in parents' rights. I think a parent should have the right within reasonable boundaries to raise a child the way they feel like it. But
sure.
I'm far more concerned with the rights of the child. I mean, if you exercising what you believe to be your parental rights would result in harm to your child, then fuck you. I don't care about your parental rights.
Right, I agree.
I care about the child.
That's why we have these things called child services. You know, they're supposed to be on the side of the child, looking out for them. But you know, but the thing is, you know, the thing is with child services, you could say, if you say it's for religious reasons, then they pretty much have to back off. But if you don't say that, then they can get it up in your business, and they are hard to hell to get out of your business for whatever
reason.
Child
services have a huge workload. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, they do. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Joe, that's all I wanted to say was...
Okay. Well, yes, I agree.
I
they do have
agree.
A...
I agree. They have a huge workload.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
I think it varies from state to state. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, here... In New York, if child services shows up on your doorstep without a cop or a search warrant or anything like that, you can just pretty much slam the door in their face. Mm. And I've heard of plenty of people who've done that because, like, some people – I mean, we've all heard about it. Like, some parents, like, will call in to child services just to fuck with their neighbor, you know?
Yeah. Oh, like, or an ex or something like – oh, I see.
An ex. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, okay. I get
that. According
to –
According to Karn here, it says, not in Ohio, if your kid is fat or if you take the child to a different hospital, they'll remove your kids. Weird. Well, every state does have their little issues.
There's plenty of horror stories about shit like that. I mean,
yeah.
I knew this guy. Well, I didn't really know him. He's kind of an acquaintance. But what happened to him was supposedly child services came to his house. Like his ex, like Connie said, his ex called child services. They came to his house. They said, we want to do a walkthrough. So he let him in. And they found a closet that was padlocked shut because he had, like, tools and things in there.
Yeah.
And they accused him of locking the kid in the closet.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, there was no evidence of that. There was no room to put the kid in the closet. It was full of tools. And he was like, what are you talking about? I locked my tools in there. And they were like, well, there's a padlock on the outside of the door. So he had to, like, go to court several times for that.
A padlock. Imagine that. Putting a lock on a door.
On a door with dangerous tools.
With dangerous tools in there. I'm sorry, we have to
keep
the
power tools in the child's bedroom.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to keep the gasoline in your room tonight there, Sally. The state said I can't have the door locked, so we got to keep the tools in your room.
Remember to unplug the circular saw before you change the blades.
Always know where your hand is at.
If you hear something go, wee! Get in your bed. And stay underneath your pillow because it'll protect you.
But going back to something Steve brought up is the idea that a lot of parents have is that the children are their property. Mm-hmm. And that's an idea that I only recently was introduced to. I mean, I never really thought about it too much. But yeah, a lot of parents think like, okay, this child is mine. It's my child. It's my property. But a child is a person.
Yes.
And people don't own other people. It's not like your dog. You know, if you own a dog, then yeah, your dog is pretty much your property. You do things with your dog that you would do with property. But your child, you have an obligation. You have to, like, if the child is sick, you have to bring it to get medical help.
Yes.
You can't say, like, oh, well, you know what? I don't believe in medical help. Because then guess what? Your child is either going to be taken away from you or it's going to die.
There was
to face charges.
Yeah, there was a case. It was just on TYT recently. This woman, she said she has no identification, she has no birth record, and somehow managed to stay out of the schools and the hospitals until she was 18. And
we talked about this last week or the week before.
Yes. Yeah. And she was not, she had a hell of a time trying to get ID because her parents didn't file the birth certificate. So she was basically one of those non-people, you know. It's like in the book 1984, it's the non-person.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned before that the baby in this situation was home birth.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had a school teacher who home birthed all her children because she was like a leftover hippie from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And
I understand my last baby.
Did you?
Okay. Yes, I did, actually.
I'm not going to make any opinion on home birthing.
It's okay. I'm just
she was doing it to number one, being natural and doing it at home with midwives, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. She had she paid for a doctor to be on hand. But she said, after a few months, she had a discussion with her husband. After each kid, they had this discussion. And the husband would have to go down to the courthouse and actually apply for a birth certificate. And they actually were concerned, like, okay, we're letting the government know that our child exists. Do we want to do that? And they decided, okay, well, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do this because one day our kid might want to, I don't know, get a driver's license.
Right.
or apply for a student loan. Yes.
Now they're just going to turn 18 and die off. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, exactly. I mean, like, I don't have kids. I've never really wanted kids, but I do feel like one of the basic things that a parent should at least try to do is to not put your bullshit on your kids.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And, exactly. And I mean, that this is a case to me of parent, like the woman who has no birth certificate and has no documentation. That's a classic example of parents putting their bullshit on their kids.
Absolutely.
And it's just, I mean, it's such a terrible thing to do. It's so irresponsible. And yeah, I mean, another thing to bring up about these parents who refuse medical care to their children and they cite religious grounds for that. We do have laws in place that do require certain things of parents. And one of those things that is required of every parent in the United States is that you have to provide an education for your child. And again, this is something that if you're a libertarian, maybe you could quibble about this. But the fact is, it was a decision that was made for the common good. We decided it would be better for everybody if people were educated, at least to a certain level. So if you have a child, you have to educate your child. Now, you don't have to send your child to a public school. You don't have to send your child to a school at all. You can homeschool your child, but you have mm-hmm. to give that child an education that is considered to be roughly the equivalent of the education that they would receive if they went to a proper school. And why there is not a similar requirement for medical care, I have no idea. And why it is in anyone's mind considered sane to consider like faith healing or praying for the child to be the equivalent of medical care. I have no idea. It makes no sense to me at all.
It makes no sense to me at all. There's another case just not that happened just this year. A girl was going to get chemotherapy, and she said the chemo was making her sick. So it was like, oh, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. I think they took the child and they went to Canada or something. Mm-hmm. And the child, because the child was, I think she was like 14, something like that. I don't remember the exact age, but she said, I had a vision from Jesus that I'm going to be all better. And so they took it, the child at the child's word, you know, it was like, oh, well, she had a vision. Therefore, we'll stop the treatment. And they took off and the child died. So yeah. I guess, hey, Jesus lied.
you know what? Produce Jesus. Have Jesus come to court and testify himself.
Yes.
Have Jesus show up and say the kid's going to be okay if we don't take her back to the doctor and put her back on chemo. Then maybe the court can consider that.
I can imagine Jesus showing up. It'd be like, press 1 for English, press 2 for Aramaic. Right.
I see Jesus arriving in robes with a tie.
I am told that Jesus loves the little children. So, yeah.
Well, they don't allow open-toed shoes in court, and you have to tuck your shirt in, and you know, you can't even shave and cut your hair. You know, come on, you're appearing in court here.
Jesus is fighting the man.
Why do you think his robes are flowing? Because this way, there's more room underneath.
He's a dirty hippie. He smells of patchouli.
Oh yeah.
Oh God. There was also another case where parents. I wish I had. I don't have the page up right now because I just thought of it now. The parents had several children, and the first one of them had died because they decided to pray over the child.
Oh, that's in Oregon.
Was that in Oregon? And then
I believe so.
And then then they had another one die, and they said, "Oh, well, we finally learned our lesson." I was like, "What expense? This is a very expensive lesson. Two children had to die, so you could learn a lesson." Bullshit.
Yeah, I want to say it's the same sect as in the sect in Idaho. I could be wrong on that, but yes.
Well, you know, it's happened enough times that I lose track of which story people are talking about. That's the shame of it. I mean,
yeah,
there was a story like this years ago before I even started my YouTube channel. I remember writing about it on my blog about a girl. I think she was like 11 years old who died of complications of diabetes that could have easily been managed if she had been taken to a doctor and given proper treatment.
Yeah.
And her parents never took her to the doctor and just kind of tried to pray it away. And
that might have been the one that happened in my city that you're probably talking about.
Maybe. Yeah. And it's happened so many times since then. And the courts are so reluctant to punish parents for these things, which if they didn't say it was because of their religious faith, it would be a clear case of child neglect.
Absolutely.
They're hiding behind the cross to justify their ignorance and their inactivity, their willful abuse of their children. It's awful. If this was about money, because healthcare is expensive,
you
know, that's all the more reason to say that I think that we, you know, there should be a level of healthcare that should be funded by tax dollars. And I hate to talk about that too much because that's probably a whole other, you know, can of worms. But God,
I agree. I agree.
I think as long as it, I think this this is just my idea, and I'm kind of piggybacking on Connie's there, that I think anybody that has minor children under the age of 18, they should be able to get free health care, at least for the child. And if it's money is an issue, I mean, every state has a set dollar amount for how much money you make if you can get free health care or not, or if you have to pay for it. But if you at least if we offered it to more people, so this way, even if you're right at that line or somewhere just above it, and you can't afford it, I mean, these lines are so arbitrary. I don't know where they come up with these dollar amounts. So they say, well, if you make this much money, then you can't afford a doctor. But if you make $1 more, just $1 more over, then apparently you can afford the doctor now. It's like, I couldn't afford the doctor before. How am I supposed to do it now?
I don't think it's necessarily doctors, but it does wind up being, I think, the whole system of insurance and, you know, just the cost of running a business, because it's a business. It's still a business.
Yeah.
And I hate complaining about it because, you know, they go, doctors, what, 12 years of college and in internship before they even can hang a shingle? And then ongoing education. It's not medical. By the way, the group is called the Followers of Christ.
Yeah.
In Oregon, and I believe that's also Idaho. And I just I'm sorry.
I know these people are just
right.
These people are just so freaking crazy. Just from the article here, it says over the past 20 years, only six states have children die due to their parents refusing medical treatment in deference to the faith healing. And Idaho has a dubious distinction of having the laws in the books.
I have that list.
Oh, do
Idaho,
you?
Louisiana, Arkansas, Ohio, West Virginia, and Iowa.
Wow. Shit, no one wants to live in Iowa anyway. I've driven through Iowa. You don't want to live in Iowa. If you're living in Iowa, I got some advice for you. Move. Anywhere.
It's not like the Music Man at all.
No, it's not. And the tornadoes don't say... No, that's Kansas. Never mind. Now we're going to get people from Iowa. Okay. Yeah, it's nice here. You people are Wisconsin. You suck. Yeah, but it doesn't smell like, you know, a farm like every time in Iowa. But
I'm going to say pig farms. I actually have a visceral memory of what a pig farm smells
like.
Oh,
yes, it is. But anyway.
Oh, God.
Bunny trail for us. It says here also, it says, you can't beat a child, Leonard Martin, a former sect member, told Al Jazeera, to sit there and do absolutely nothing for a child except pray for them and to watch them suffer is just inhumane. And I completely agree with that. How can a person who says that they love this child, I know that they think that they're doing the best by saying, hey, I'm going to say some magic words over this child and think that that's going to work when the child is getting worse and worse and worse. And I have read stories, and I'm sure this has happened more than one occasion, where the parents are sitting there thinking that their juju monster in the sky is going to heal their child. Someone else from another part of the family says, what the fuck are you doing? Get that child to the hospital, or picks up the child and takes off with the child and takes them to the doctor to get them treated with real medicine and not saying spooky words.
I think a lot of it has to do with, again, like we were talking about with the other story, there are a lot of people in the United States that have a concept of religious freedom that tells them that as long as they can find a way to chalk whatever they want to do up to their faith, they can do whatever they want. And it's that, what I consider to be a misinterpretation of religious freedom. And it's also the attitude that we have of where we have to respect someone's right to their religion. I believe in that very strongly.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
And most people do. But we are way too respectful of demonstrably incorrect beliefs. I mean, just because you have the right to believe it, and you should have the right to believe it, doesn't mean that I or anyone else, especially a more informed person than me, like a doctor or a professional scientist, has to defer to your faith when you're saying something that is absolutely wrong. If you believe that you can treat cancer with, you know, ionized water and prayer, you're wrong. It's not a matter of your faith. You are factually incorrect. It doesn't work.
Right.
You know, you can still believe it if that pleases you. You know, you can still believe that prayer cures cancer. But if your child has a disease that requires medical attention, you should have to take the kid to the doctor.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely.
An innocent person, a child who, they can't even go get their ears pierced without a parent's permission. They can't do anything. They are so at the mercy of the adults in their life, you know, why would you not protect them? And it just, it's mind-boggling that people want to hide behind, I don't know, I guess, here's another thing that I do kind of think about is, I wonder if this is the camel putting his nose in the tent and have certain religious, you know, factions think that they've found a way to, you know, give more credence to, you know, religion by trying to hide behind these bills. You know, the dominionists, the Pat Robertsons who think, you know, and David Bartons who think that, you know, actually America is a Christian state. And I'm like, why are you trying to get these exemptions for your religion? You know, because if we were talking about Muslims wanting to have, you know, to radicalize, I hate to say Muslims because I don't know that much about them, but, you know, it, you had the more factionists who wanted to have Sharia law, and that was their religious belief. Would that be okay? You know, the pagans already tried to give out just comic, you know, coloring books in a in a town in the, yeah, in the South. And that was
because everybody knows how coloring books just heal cancer. from the chat room here real quick. We had, let's see here, Torvian said, people believe that if you believe something hard enough that you can change reality. And then somebody else, he says, like, that you hadn't considered. And it's like, that's Sage Higgins. And it's like, no, I'm sorry, but just believing a thing is going to be true doesn't make it so. I can sit here and believe that I'm going to win the lottery tomorrow, even though I haven't played. It's not going to happen, no matter how much I believe it. Even if I've bought a ticket, if I sit there and I rub it and I kiss it and go, that's not – just because I believe it's going to happen. There's, the chances are not great.
Well, and again, it comes down to – look, you should have the right to believe whatever you want.
Yeah.
And freedom of conscience and freedom of religion means that no matter what you believe, no matter what faith you profess, no matter what philosophy you hold to, I do not have a legal right – to punish you for that or to force you to profess a different philosophy. I can't refuse to serve you in my restaurant. Right. I can't refuse to hire you for a job on that basis. But it doesn't mean that you get to do whatever you want. There's this weird perversion of the right that has really taken hold in a lot of conservative Christians, that it's not just protection from discrimination. It means that you are empowered to do anything you want as long as you can appeal to your faith to justify it, and that right, the rest of us have no choice but to just accept it.
Exactly.
And you would not, and most Christians who assert that right, they would not stand for a moment to hear a member of another faith assert that same right. And if you would not want anyone else, a member of a different religion, to do something in the name of their faith, then you should not have the right to do it in the name of your faith.
Exactly. And another example right along those lines, there was a couple of places, like there's this restaurant that they said, if you pray at your table or if you prove that you're a Christian somehow, then you get a discount. And there was another, a plumber was doing the same thing. It's like, if you're a Christian, you get a 15% discount, I guess, because Christians are more full of shit. They need the discount.
Preferential treatment.
Yes. But the thing is, and Steve kind of hit right on there. If let's say a Muslim did this, if you're a Muslim, you come into my store, and if you, I don't know, pray to the Prophet Muhammad at your table or whatever, you pull out your prayer rug and show us your prayer rug, you get a 15% discount. Do you think Fox wouldn't be all over that shit and go, look at these Muslims, they're giving special treatment to them? It's like,
yeah,
well, what the fuck do you think this Christian was doing? He was doing the same thing.
Yeah. There's a huge double standard. If you can do it in the name of Christ, well, then you're a good American. But if you do it in the name of Allah or Muhammad or in the name of no faith at all, you know, then yeah, all of somehow you're a threat to our very democracy, you know?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It's really sad that they think that this is, I don't know. It gets
really
me so frustrated.
Seeing the death throes of what I would consider to be like this fundamentalist kind of a, you know, mentality that seems to be like infecting Christianity, it has been infecting it for a while. I would love to see that this is might be something that could just like quiet down, just, you know, calm down. And I don't know. I'm not sure it will anytime soon. But
I don't know if we're going to see religion go away in our lifetime.
Oh, no, I didn't say religion. I mean, there's people who, you know, still want to be Christians and stuff. But I'm just saying the people who think that they're, you know, that Christianity is the law of the land. It's, you know, and it's this whole dominionist, we got to take America for Jesus mentality. And I'm like, God, you're
I'm really crazy.
You know?
I just want to make a comment here. Sage Higgins says, if you're telling me what the truth is, then you're an extremist. No, that's not how that works. If something is true, it doesn't care what you believe.
No. Yeah.
I can believe I can believe I'm a turkey sandwich. The truth is, I'm not a turkey sandwich. I'm a big turkey sometimes, but I'm not a turkey sandwich.
Cranberry.
Even if you put cranberries around my ass and a piece of bread on top of my head, I'm still not a turkey sandwich.
I am not responsible for the bunny trails.
Yeah. You know what Connie was saying. I mean, there about maybe eventually we'll start to see this sort of thing gradually go away. This kind of religious factionalism in the United States, where people, it's a relatively recent phenomenon. People have been religious in the United States since the very beginning. It's always been a predominantly Christian country in terms of demographics, and there has been religious strife here and there throughout our history. But for the most part, most people who identified as one flavor or another of Christian got along and didn't really make too big of a deal about it. But they didn't have to, because they felt like they were running the show. And what happened starting in the 1950s and 60s is these other groups who had been marginalized and sort of kept silent for all these years started to speak up and say, hey, you know, we would kind of like to be treated the same way that these guys are. And it was different people of different religions. It was women. It was racial minorities. Eventually it was gay folks. Now it's transgender folks that are sort of standing up and saying, you know, we feel like we've been overlooked all these years, and we would like some guarantees here. We would like some protection. We would like to be treated equally and treated fairly. And there's a small portion of Christians, of conservative people, who see that as a threat. And as long as they see it as a threat, they're going to react to it in these really outrageous ways. And I feel like eventually people are just going to get used to it. I mean, I really feel like the grandchildren of people my age are going to look back and say, what was all that about?
Yeah.
You know, why was it so? Just like people, for the most part, people think of the civil rights movement in the 60s. You know, when someone my age, I'm 35, when someone my age sees footage from the late 50s and early 60s of cops turning fire hoses on protesters, who were just marching for an end to Jim Crow laws and things like that, it seems insane. It's like, seriously, they turned attack dogs on people? They fired fire hoses at people? It seems nuts. And and I think, hopefully, with a lot of this religious stuff, with this faith healing stuff, with anti-gay discrimination, like, we'll reach a point in another couple of decades where that will begin to be regarded the same way. I mean, it'll never go away. There are still racists today, and there's still a lot of institutional racism.
There's still neo-Nazis almost 50 years later.
Yeah, well, they have fewer, they're scared, and we have this failing.
We're afraid of the different thing.
Yeah, people are afraid. Basically, when people
That's in our nature, though.
Absolutely.
I mean, people fear what they don't understand.
Yeah,
but it's just a matter of, I mean, you have to drive it. You can't shut up about it. You have to continue to speak out. But eventually, I mean, history, American history, human history does have a very progressive tendency. Sometimes it takes us a long time. Sometimes it takes us longer than it should. But we do eventually get to a point where we're better than we were in the past. I mean, it took hundreds of years, but we eventually got rid of slavery, you know?
Yeah.
And then it took another 100 years, but we eventually got rid of, like, racially discriminatory laws. And now we're in this phase where we still have a lot of racism to deal with, but most of it is cultural and sort of institutional. And eventually we'll get to a point where we have a better handle on that too. And these other sorts of discrimination as well. But it just happens. It's a generational thing. As the generations turn over, things tend to improve.
Absolutely.
I agree with that. I have a very optimistic view about the progress of humanity, too. And if you look through the history, we make progress, and then sometimes we even get set back a little bit, or we get set back a lot, and we stay set back a lot for a while. But
that's called Republicans. Just to let you know, that's called Republicans.
Yeah.
Well, what about before 1860?
The Whig Party. It was the Whig Party. I swear it was the Whig Party.
The Whig Party was setting us back. That's right. They were the cause of the fall of the Roman Empire. Right?
I didn't know if you were going to go back that far. Oh, well, then it was the one still believing in Zeus. That was the problem.
It was the Carthaginians. Right. They were responsible for all of it.
But humanity has progressed to the point where here we are now. we're like, what is it, like 400 generations since the dawn of civilization, something like that. Yeah. And here we are at the...
I didn't study math for this show.
there is a number of how many generations since we started planting seeds to make our food. And here we are at the precipice. Like, we're at the forefront of human expansion. Like, mm-hmm. like no other humans have made it this far, and we've made it the best that any other human before us has ever made it. We're mm-hmm. we're the best fed, we're the best healthy, we have the most technology. Like, this is a golden age of humanity right now, and we get to witness it, and that's a fantastic thing.
Yes.
Knock on wood.
Definitely. Definitely.
I knew it. You're superstitious. You're sorry.
No, that was my
Who
head.
The hell let Connie
that,
in here?
No, that pounding sound you heard was the woodpecker on the back of my head. Sorry about that. An Entropy fan wanted to know, Steve, is it a cultural yeah. institution or is it institutional and it is now cultural?
What's he talking about?
I have no idea.
Well, I guess I was talking about institutional racism.
Okay.
I think it's both. I mean, I think, like, if you look at, you know, something that's been in the news for the last year or so, like the way the discriminatory nature of law enforcement, the way law enforcement cops and law enforcement agencies tend to react and treat African Americans differently than white folks. I don't think that's a matter of just every single cop is a conscious, willful racist. I think it's a matter of cultural things, of cultural biases that are built into us that we don't even realize are there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an institutional thing. I think there are sort of these cultural machines, you know, that you have to turn it into a different direction, and it's not always that easy. You know, you can't just say, okay, I've noticed that we're doing some things wrong. We're practicing some racism here. I don't know if we mean to do it, but we need to stop this, okay? So everybody just stop it.
Absolutely.
It's not that easy.
Absolutely. You know? All right, well, we're getting down to the last few seconds of the show here. I know it's been this has been a fun hour, we're going to be doing it again next month, and we want you to come back for our regular longer show, or regular long show, on next week here at vonlive.tv/PackardPokesAt, and who knows what we'll have on next week, because I don't. I don't know until Wednesday.
And then the overlords tell him.
Then the overlords have told me what to say. So, but I want to thank everybody that came to the chat room tonight and joined in on our conversation. If you want to join in the conversations here, you can go to uberconference.com/PackardPokesAt or dial 857-216-3200. Use PIN number 35368 for our next Let's Talk. That'll be end of next month. And we will have a new guest next month to join us there as well. So, and what we'll be talking about next month? I don't know. Let's see where the winds take us. Set your sail, man. Set your sail. Trim it nice. Trim it nice.
Sail away, sail.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, and we hope we'll see you there. This has been Packard Pokes at. We just poked at your news.
Live long and prosper.
And live long and prosper.